And now, it's time for the Tri-State Sports Beat with your hosts, Nick Federico, Scott DeVell, and Joe Bruno.
Welcome, everybody, to a special bonus episode of the Tri-State Sports Beat. Nick and Scott here. Scott, how we doing, buddy?
Great. On a nice Thursday evening here, getting the football week started a little early.
Yes, sir. And we wouldn't be on here if we didn't have some special guests with us. For the first time ever, we are collaborating with another football podcast, and we have Derek Evans and Kelvin Lewis here from the Real Nation Raider podcast. Guys, how are we doing this evening?
I'm doing okay. Appreciate having me on. And I want to say thank you for accommodating me in particular, because I know you guys wanted to do it earlier, but I worked, so that wouldn't work out for me to do it later. So I appreciate having you on. And again, thank you very much.
Of course, guys. No problem. We figured we wanted to do this.
So I searched Raiders podcasts on Twitter, and they were the first ones that came up. So
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's got to make you guys feel good, right? It's got to make you guys feel pretty good, right?
Oh, God.
So we're basically on here to do a preview show of the matchup between the Las Vegas Raiders. I always want to say Oakland Raiders. It's just a habit, but...
I understand.
The Las Vegas Raiders and our beloved but horrible New York Jets. Now, we were reading your guys' Twitter, and the first thing I saw today was you guys are actually afraid of losing to the Jets. And Scott and I have already reassured you guys that that's not going to happen. But I want to know why you guys think, I know the Raiders have lost two in a row, and it's not looking too bright at the moment, but I want to know why you guys are kind of a little bit afraid about losing to the Jets this weekend.
Because the Raiders fans, and I run the Raiders, our podcast, Twitter, and I almost feel like my tweets after a loss are therapy, almost. The Raider fans are afraid because they're worried that this team is going to do what it did last year. And last year, they started out 6-4, and they finished 7-9, and that tailspin started with a 34-3 loss to the New York Jets. So a lot of Raider Nation is afraid that what is going to happen is the same thing as happened last year. And I've tried to be therapy doctor on Twitter by saying, just because what I said specifically a few times is, just because the game against the Falcons looked like the game against the Jets last season, that doesn't necessarily mean that these past next five games are going to look like the five games of last season. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that. But that's why a lot of Raider Nation is worried about the loss to the Jets. And that's why I have to be a therapist kind of on our podcast after that loss. Basically, Zirko will take it from here.
Don't trust Paul Gunther. I've told our the members on our podcast that since day one. I don't trust him at all. He can give up a game. He can give up a game quick. So I told Derek when we were on our podcast in the beginning, I think our backfield, our defense is too young. I just think when you have a defense, you always need some veteran pieces back there to help guide the youngsters in. On our Raider defense, we don't have that. Mm-hmm. Everybody is free agents or first and second year players. So you got a bunch of young high head guys on defense, making mistakes, and it's costly. You saw what happened in the Atlanta game. We had 11 penalties for 147 yards. Can't happen. In the NFL, it's any given Sunday. Oh, yeah, you guys, Jets are 0-11. You guys should beat the Jets. And what's going to happen? Jets will mess around and get their first win against, of course, the Raiders. So anything can happen. People forget that, the Jets, they do have a good defensive coordinator. And the Jets, they are a good run-stopping team. Despite what other people may see or other people may think, if you actually watch that team play, they're a good run-stop team. I mean, Jacobs for us is hurt right now. They don't even know if he's playing on Sunday. So his status is in the air. But I don't look past anybody. I don't care what your record is. I don't care what your record is. I told him on the podcast, I mean, yeah, we're supposed to beat Atlanta, but ever since Raheem took over, that team has been thriving. You can't look past anybody. It's any given Sunday. I said these next two games on the road are going to be trap games. And Derek Carr said in an interview that preparation going into Atlanta wasn't okay because they were still hanging their heads high on almost beating Kansas City. How are you proud of almost winning? You lost. Move on to the next game. And that's the issue. This team is too young for me. I mean, Derek Carr, yeah, he's a captain. He's a leader. He's been here for 7 years, but – it's only so much he can do as a leader. You know, either they're going to listen or they ain't. And obviously they're not listening, and we see what's happening now. It's costing us.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned last year's game where the Jets somehow won 34-3. That was during the Jets' run of winning six out of their last eight, and people thinking that, oh, the Jets are fine. Adam Gase is the best coach because they finished six out of the last eight pretty much beating scrub teams and losing to the Dolphins and the Bengals. But what's the biggest differences between last year's Raider team that, you know, Sam Darnold actually played well against? I remember that play to Robbie Anderson in the middle of the field where, you know, he could just kind of chucked it up. Robbie made a great play. And, you know, that was kind of the momentum of that game. And then, you know, this year, what's the main differences between the 2019 Raiders and the 2020 Raiders, obviously, other than the location change?
And that's what's scaring so many fans is now there's a question of, is the team actually any different at all? That is actually a debate that's going on right now, but that should not be a debate when you look at the comparisons of the Raiders last year versus this year. The record is different, but the offense is much better. The Raiders have, I believe, a top five scoring offense this season. Last year's Raider team only put up 30 points twice all season, while this year's Raider team put it up three straight weeks and I believe six times all season. So the offense is playing at a much more elite level, and we're beating good teams. We're the only team in the whole year that's beat the Chiefs. We beat the Saints, beat the Browns, who are a good team. I think they may be a good team mostly because of their. You know, they're not their schedule, but they're you know, number four and number five in the playoffs right now. And the Raiders the previous 2 years didn't beat a single team above 500. So the offense is the main difference in teams. The offense is much better, and we're beating good teams. Like I said, we beat Kansas City, and then we almost beat Kansas City again. So I think that's a sign that this team is good to where they can beat the Chiefs, almost beat the Chiefs a second time, but then – the reason why I can't say the Raiders are a Super Bowl contender, they're obviously a playoff contender, but they're not a Super Bowl contender because they have this flat, piss-poor performance against the Falcons. I think it's the sign of a young team that's almost quite there, that's being really legit, but what's keeping them from being a Super Bowl contender is having this flat-out game against the Falcons. So to me, the biggest difference are the offense being so much better and they're beating good teams, but the Falcons game showed they're just not the same level of the Chiefs and the Steelers.
I think one thing that we can all agree on is this Raiders offense is totally different than last year's Raiders offense. I mean, this team is scoring. This team is putting points up on the board. Despite the game that Derek Carr had last Sunday, he looks very comfortable in John Gruden's tough offense, very comfortable. And a lot of people have to remember, he's been in the league 7 years. He's had four different head coaches and four different offensive coordinators. This is the first time he's with the same group of coaching staff for more than 2 years. So third year in John Gruden's system, he's extremely comfortable. He's very comfortable. And a lot of people always thought, you know, John's going to get rid of Derek Carr, or Marcus Mariota's going to be the starter by week seven. The Raiders aren't going to win more than five games. Derek Carr is not going to thrive in this offense. He's proven everybody wrong. To me, I personally feel, if we weren't 6-4 and we were maybe, let's just say, 8-2 or 7-3, he may be in the conversation. He may be in the conversation for MVP. But I think because of the record and because of how this defense is playing, his play on the field may get overlooked.
Yeah. Fortunately, I played Derek Carr in fantasy last week. And
I did too. I still won.
I did not.
I still won. I still won, luckily. But yeah, I mean, I think this offense is much better this year than it is last year. And to me, honestly, I think our defense is better this year than it was last year also. So I think, you know, us winning this game, it doesn't have to be a shootout. I mean, we're playing the Jets. I don't want to look past anybody, but the Jets aren't scoring points the way the Raiders can score points. The Jets, you know, aren't going to stop the passing game the way other teams can. And Atlanta was ranked, what, 27th in passing, giving up 400 passing yards a game, and we couldn't even throw the ball.
Yeah, just touched on the offense one more thing quick. What do you guys think of Henry Ruggs? I mean, people, I think, were kind of surprised that he was the first wide receiver taken off the board this year over Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb. And what were your guys' initial reactions when that pick came? And I know he hasn't put up crazy numbers compared to like a Justin Jefferson or maybe even Jerry Jeudy for the Broncos, but what have you guys thought about his season so far?
I was very happy with the Henry Ruggs pick. Personally, I thought he was the best receiver. I thought he was the maybe not the best receiver, but I thought he was the most needed receiver of the Raiders offense because just the speed, the pure speed was what this offense needed. He had a great game against the Chiefs. He only had two catches in the Chiefs game, but over 100 yards and a touchdown. So we've seen what he can do, but he's not putting up the numbers. And I think it's clear when you watch it on the field that his timing is just off with Derek Carr. They'll go deep, you know, and it's just like Ruggs will stop running, or Carr just will actually throw it to where he thinks Ruggs is going to be and not necessarily where he is. You can just tell. And I think that he was hurt for a little while too. So I think that's something to do with it. So my expectations for Ruggs is that this is kind of a throwaway season for him, but I think he's going to next year and the year after is going to become the true threat to the NFL that he was. Ironically, a lot of people who don't know, who have misconceptions about Derek Carr, a lot of people think that the problem was Derek Carr's arm wasn't going to, that he was going to underthrow Ruggs, because there's this myth that Derek Carr can't throw deep, which is proven inaccurate. So ironically, I think that the thing is he's always throwing too deep for Ruggs. But again, I think this will be corrected. I just don't think it's going to be corrected this season.
What's your guys' thoughts about the other weapons around Derek Carr other than Ruggs? Like,
Aguilar and Darren Waller.
A lot of people, you know, when they, real quick for Henry Ruggs, they look at Henry Ruggs and they look at speed. They're like, oh, he's one speed, he could catch it. And I told people, like, you guys are just looking for him to put stats up. But if you're actually watching the game, his presence on the field is making a difference. He's pretty much, when we played Kansas City, he was double teamed a lot. Like, if you, Nelson Aguilar is always open for a reason. Darren Waller is always open for a reason. Renfro was always open for a reason, because the speed of Henry Ruggs is attracting that safety help. And we all know Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, he was one of my favorite players coming out of LSU. He's still one of my favorite defensive safeties, but he can't guard. He can't guard Waller. We saw that. So Henry Ruggs' presence on the field is being felt. Maybe not being felt as far as the numbers that he's putting up, but if you're watching the game and you look past that, him being on the field makes a difference. And as far as Nelson Aguilar, I tell people, when he was with Philly last year, he was forced to be the number one. He was forced to be that guy because they suffered so many injuries. They suffered so many injuries at the wide receiver position. And he just needed to change the scenery. He coming here now, you don't have to be the number one. Just catch the ball. Just catch the ball when it comes to you and look at it. And last year, they talk about his drop passes, but he only had 3 drop passes. The problem is, those 3 drop passes that he had were touchdown passes that could have won the Eagles the game. Right. So, I mean, he's had a lot of drop passes. He's had some drop passes, but it happens. You're not going to catch everything. You're not. It happens. Sometimes DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best wide receivers in the league, and he dropped passes. It's going to happen. I'm sure Jay Rice, he dropped passes. Tim Brown, he dropped passes. You're not going to catch everything. It happens. So, but the pieces that surround, you know, Ruggs and Derek Carr on this offense, I like who we have. I wasn't sold on Devin Booker as being our second running back, but I'm sold on him. He's been doing good. Nelson Aguilar, he's fitting right in. I just wish that some of those Aguilar plays would go to Ruggs instead of going to Aguilar. So, thank you. So, but yeah, I like the pieces that surround him. He's good. They're good. I should say.
Darren Waller is, I would say, a top 3 tight end in the league. I think he's still undervalued or underestimated by some, and I think he's the fastest tight end in the league. He's Travis Kelce made a comment to where he's a much better athlete than him, and I know Travis Kelce is a better tight end than Waller, but I think as far as a pure athlete goes, I think Waller may actually be better than Kelce, maybe. Josh Jacobs, when you watch Josh Jacobs play this season, he's actually, it seems like a lot of Raider fans think that he's having a bad season, and he's had some games below 50, but yet he still managed to be top 5 in league in rushing right now. And also the Raiders offensive line deserves a lot of credit. Not for last week, the offensive line was horrible, but the Raiders offensive line has been one of the best offensive lines this season, despite the fact that starters have only played together a total of 3 plays all year.
Right.
So I think they deserve a shout out overall the season.
So we're playing backups linemen, and we're playing second and third string linemen in for the first time this year. Last week was their first bad game. I mean, that says a lot about Tom Cable as our offensive line coach.
Right. So you the Raiders are going up against our Scott and I's 0-11 Jets. The numbers don't lie here, guys. The Jets are the last ranked offense in the NFL. The Jets are the 25th, best defense in the NFL. Going into this game on the opposing side, what scares you guys, if anything at all, about this Jets team?
That you guys are 0-11. That scares me because you don't want to be the team that loses to 0-11.
Yeah.
The fact and what scares me about the Jets is not the Jets. It's just the fact that what Raiders team is facing the Jets. Is it the Raiders team that should have swept Kansas City, or is it the team that just got annihilated by the Falcons? Weather potentially could also scare about the game because there's this myth. Well, maybe it's not even a myth, because in the past it was true that Derek Carr doesn't play great in the cold. We won with him and against the Browns game, which was horrible weather. And it looks like the weather is not – correct me if I'm wrong, guys. I don't think the weather is going to be too horrible in East Rutherford on Sunday. But really the only thing that actually scares me about the Jets at all is that could the Raiders be that one team that loses to 0-11? I don't think it will happen, but I don't think there's a single guarantee in the NFL. But probably the closest thing to a guarantee in the NFL is beating an 0-11 team. But in 2020, could the Raiders lose to an 0-11 team? Well, I mean, sure, it could happen.
Anything is possible, man, any given Sunday. I mean, the Jets are 0-11. We know what they're playing for. They're playing for the number one, number two pick. You're either going to get Trevor Lawrence or you're going to get Justin Fields. That's what you're playing for. The Jets have nothing to lose at this point. They have absolutely nothing to lose. They can win this game and still get the top two pick. So, I mean, what are they playing for? Like, what we're playing for the number one pick. We have nothing to lose. We can go out there. We can beat the Raiders. We're still going to get that top pick. I think this game is more so for the Raiders than it is for the Jets, because the Raiders, even though they're in the third year of a quote-unquote rebuild, they still, they're still playing for a playoff spot. Right now, if the playoffs would start today, we're out. We're number eight.
Right.
Thank you, Baltimore, for losing. We're out. We're number eight. But we have work to do. So we have to have this game. We should. I mean, games like last week and games like Sunday, you can't lose. You can't afford those. You can't afford to lose those games. So, I mean, people think, oh, it's the 0-11 Jets. You guys should be good. Every game matters. It's any given Sunday. Any given Sunday, anything can happen. You never know. The Jets may come out there and light it up. Like, where has this team been all year? This isn't the same 0-11 Jets that we've been watching. This anything can happen. I don't look past anybody. I don't care what their record is. I don't look past nobody.
I really hope you're wrong, because I want the Jets to lose. Scott and I have been big Sam Darnold, defenders up until the last 2 to 3 weeks. Because, I mean, it's just time. Like, Adam Gase has ruined Sam Darnold to the point where it's just time for him to move on to somewhere else and try and salvage his career like Ryan Tannehill did in his time in Miami and now in Tennessee. So,
and Gase even admitted that today in his press conference, saying that he hasn't done enough in his job to ensure that Darnold has had a good NFL future in front of him.
They're going to have to trade him. I mean, you're not going to get anything higher than a fourth from the way at this, right?
Yeah, if he keeps playing the way he is, then you're absolutely right.
You're lucky to get a fourth for him. I mean, look at Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
Yeah, Schefter said it like earlier in the season that he thought the Jets get a 2 and a 5 for Darnold, the same thing that the Cardinals got for Rosen. If Darnold keeps playing like this, they'll be lucky to get a mid-round fourth, maybe a fifth-round pick. Because who's going to want to take this guy who can't even throw for 175 yards?
I think Darnold actually is a talented player. I just think the Jets are making him look horrible. But
He wasn't that good coming out of USC.
He's a turnover machine there.
Yeah, I didn't agree with it. He had like 23 turnovers his final year. I didn't agree with the Jets drafting him. Mm-hmm. Didn't agree with that at all. I mean, it's the Jets. I don't really care. But if you're going to draft a quarterback, why him? Yeah, 23 turnovers. It's his final year in college. And then you expect him to come to the NFL and do better. You got to put the right coach and the right people around him, and that hasn't happened.
I think it was because really that year Sam Darnold was the top rated, whatever you feel about being the top rated quarterback coming out of the draft. He was considered to be the can't miss guy. And when the Browns picked Baker Mayfield, opened up the door for the Jets to draft the guy and the quarterback in the draft that year. So. I mean, I agree with you to the point where Sam Darnold was a turnover machine, but at the same time, the Jets picked the player that was best suited for them, and it really he really fell in their lap at that point. So
imagine Lamar Jackson with this Jets team.
Yeah, I really don't think it would be any different, because the Jets would ruin Lamar Jackson like they ruined Sam Darnold. I'm telling you, you put anybody with Adam Gase, and they'll be ruined.
Like, and then the problem that I have also is sometimes if you're a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator, know your job. You're not always made to be a head coach.
Absolutely.
Something like Matt Patricia, perfect example.
Oh, yes.
Great defensive coordinator. Excellent defensive coordinator. You're not made to be a head coach. No. That's not your job.
Todd Bowles.
You're not made to be a head coach. I'm sorry. Sometimes calling defensive plays is your thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And not a lot of coaches have success like that when you're coming from being an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator to being a head coach. I mean, look, Rex Ryan had success with it, but after a while, he flattened out.
Well, I just want to say about Adam Gase, he actually made the playoffs one time in 3 years in Miami. So when the Jets hired him, I actually at the time didn't think it was a terrible hire. I didn't see his career being absolutely going to god-awful, because I actually thought he succeeded in Miami somewhat. So to me
– What was he in Miami?
He
was head coach in Miami. They made the playoffs
one time. He got fired by Miami, and Christopher Johnson thought it was a good idea to, you know, trot him right into one Jets drive and bring him in again.
The Jets could not wait to pick him up. Like, he was fired and hired within 2 days.
Well, yeah, he was the talk of the town at that time. He was the guy. Yeah.
That's why we kept saying when Matt Patricia got fired, Christopher Johnson's already opening the door for him at one Jets drive to get him in there to become the next head coach.
Because
no faith in the Johnson brothers.
Because I don't know how you guys feel on the Raiders end about the Davis family. I don't know how you guys feel personally, but with us, the Johnsons are the worst owners in town. Like, the Mets had the Wilpons, they're gone. Now the Johnsons are the joke of New York sports when it comes to ownership. Like,
I love the Davis family. I do. For me, Jerry Jones and Al Davis are like, they draft with their hearts, not for talent.
Right.
And people were like, you know, we know Jamarcus Russell was the best guy coming out of that draft at the time. Lane Kiffin wanted Megatron. Mm-hmm. He wanted to draft Megatron. And Al Davis was like, no, I want this kid out of LSU. I want him, you know. And then why? I mean, yeah, he could throw the ball 70 yards, but a lot of people felt his talent from LSU wasn't going to transition to the NFL. And first thing Al Davis said is, I want this guy because I love him like he's my own son. No.
Can't do that.
So I can't play football. Absolutely not. Look what happened with Jamarcus Russell.
I will say Mark Davis is different than Al Davis. In fact, Mark leaves the football decisions to the football guys. Mike Mayock and John Gruden make every football decision now, and Mark doesn't make any. So I will say Mark is better than his dad in that respect.
I mean, even when we had Reggie McKenzie, he didn't make the best picks, but he did draft Derek Carr. He did draft Khalil Mack for us. So Reggie McKenzie had his handful of good picks for us as well. So that's what I do like about Mark. Mark, like, I don't know who to pick. That's not my job. My job is to own the team and hire the people. I'm going to do that. So Mark is doing what he's supposed to do. He's letting people take over. Because, you know, he got a lot of criticism about hiring Mike Mayock. But to me, I'm like, Mike Mayock, wait, he's a draft expert. Why not hire him? He knows what he's doing.
See, we could only wish that was the case scenario here with the Jets. Because the owner has to put his nose where he doesn't know football. He doesn't know football, and that is so blatantly obvious, it's not even funny. Like, to pick the next head coach, you got to let Joe Douglas do his job here. And how the hierarchy works with the Jets, it's been this way for as long as the Johnsons have owned the team. The coach and the GM are on the same level, and they report to the owner. I never understood that. I never understood it. And that's why I feel like the Jets are where they are right now.
So it's like, for me, I was okay with it. I was 50-50 with John coming back. I'm like, okay, he got a 10-year deal. He's not going to get fired until he gets at least a year 7 and nothing changed. But he said in his press conference, if he doesn't have a Super Bowl team built by year number 5, he's going to fire himself. And that the first 3 years were going to be rebuilt years. So I made a post on my Twitter saying, you know, technically we're ahead. Technically this year is our last year of our rebuild year. And we're like last year. We're fighting for a playoff spot like we were last year. Last year, we didn't get eliminated until week 17.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we're fighting to get in the playoffs. This is year 3 of a rebuild. We shouldn't even be here. We're still rebuilding. But we're here. So a lot of the Raider fans have a lot of high expectations because we're tired of losing, and I understand.
Yeah.
There's no way we can go into Sunday and lose to the goddamn Jets.
Listen, we hope you guys win too. Like, we may sound like bad fans and everything, but we sincerely hope that the Raiders win on Sunday. Scott and I want Trevor Lawrence. The majority of the Jets fans want the number one pick. They want Trevor Lawrence. And to be honest with you, I don't want to settle for the number two pick because I don't really trust Justin Fields.
That's my guy.
I watch a lot of Big Ten.
Trevor Lawrence is my guy.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is our guy over here. But I don't know how I feel about Justin Fields, man. I mean, Ohio State quarterbacks historically are not very good.
Yeah, that's true. That's understandable. They don't produce, you know, good quarterbacks, but I have my faith in Justin Fields. Okay. You're lucky I ain't got the pick because I'm taking it.
That's fair.
You guys want to go ahead and ruin Trevor Lawrence's career? Go ahead.
Are you worried that the Jets could ruin Trevor Lawrence?
Like, oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But here's the thing. They have to get the right coach. It starts with the coach and it starts with the GM. It all starts up top.
It does because are the GM and the owner doing? We're just drafting. As a coach, it's your job to hire the personnel. Mm-hmm. Well, you and the GM job to hire the personnel to develop these players. So if you guys said your GM is Joe Douglas, if he's not doing what he's supposed to do to hire the coaches to develop these players, then that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about John Gruden. I mean, what are you waiting for? Stop hiring your buddy Paul Gunther and fire him, please. But he's not going to fire a coach. You know, 5 weeks left, so I expect Paul Gunther to be gone at the end of the season. But hey,
yeah, we on this podcast have faith in Joe Douglas so far. I mean, he drafted Mekhi Becton, who looks like he's going to be one of the next best tackles in the league for the next 10 years. Denzel Mims, our second round pick, you know, dealt with injuries in the beginning, but you know he's made some very good plays, and then you know. We'll see what the later round picks turn into. I mean, we drafted an all-pro punter at this point because he punts 10 times a game. looking at the weather, we mentioned the weather before. It might be a little nasty in East Rutherford. It's supposed to be a real feel high of 30 degrees with 20-mile-an-hour winds on Sunday. That stadium is a wind tunnel. Jacobs is out. Oh, boy. Quinnen Williams will be eating whatever your second string running back is.
You guys enjoy him while you can because he's going to be in silver and black soon.
Who, Quinnen?
Quinnen?
Yeah, he's going to be in silver and black soon, so enjoy.
Oh, gee.
He's a beast.
I want to point out Josh Jacobs hasn't practiced this week, but Gruden thinks he's going to be good to go. There were multiple weeks last season where he wouldn't practice the entire week and still play with a shoulder injury. This is just a sprained ankle. Yeah. I would be highly surprised if Josh Jacobs didn't play.
So this may be one of them weeks where, you know what, rest, heal up that ankle, get ready for Sunday. So he's probably still at practice. He's probably just not physically practicing, just maybe resting up, getting that ankle ready.
There's no week to rest like Jets week.
I got a question. I'm glad I'm talking to Jets fans. You guys will maybe have this answer better than the week before. What's wrong with your field?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean,
I asked that because as you guys played the 49ers there, you know, they had the Giants there, then they had you guys, and three of their top defensive players tore their ACL or got seriously injured on your field, and everybody was complaining. All the Jets got a terrible field. Oh, the Jets, how can the NFL improve the field? So I looked and I did my research, and you guys got brand new artificial turf.
Yeah,
it's brand new this year.
At the beginning, I think, and over the summer, maybe June or July. So you guys know, like, is the field that bad, or was it just an unlucky day for the Niners players to get injured?
I think it was just an unlucky day. I mean, we haven't really seen much of it lately. I mean, the last serious injury I can think of that happened on, at least in the Jets game, was one of our young wide receivers' foot got kind of caught in the turf and tore his hamstring or something like that. But I haven't seen any like sort of torn ACL recently. I think it was just, you know, I think like when turf's brand new, it's a lot more like squishy and
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's getting better. I mean, it was a brand new turf. I don't know what the difference between that one was and the one that's either in. Do you guys have natural grass or turf in the new Vegas stadium?
Natural grass. We have natural grass, even though it's a completely domed stadium. They put in the natural grass every day on game day. Mark Davis said, even though we'll play in a dome, we will still have real grass.
I think that's awesome. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Derek is correct that they do water the grass right outside before we roll it in, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw that. When they played the night game, I saw that. That's where I saw that from.
So they do that with Arizona Cardinals, I found out as well. They're the same. They do the same thing as well, which I didn't know until, our night game when I found that out.
Yeah. What's your guys' thoughts on the notion that the Raiders are a terrible East Coast team? Why do people say that the Raiders suck on the East Coast?
Because we lost 43-6 at the Falcons.
Hey, what happened when we came to the East Coast? I mean, what? Who were we playing the East Coast? I think it was last year we came to play Washington.
And the Jets.
And we lost. And this season on the East Coast, we beat the Panthers, but we lost to the Patriots. We played the Browns. I guess the Browns are sort of kind of East Coast. That's more Midwest, but it's the Eastern time zone. I don't know if that counts.
We'll count it.
So we won that game, and then we got killed by Atlanta. So we're 2-2 on games on the East Coast. I mean, it's a West Coast team. I mean, we're not as west as Oakland, but Las Vegas is
west. Then look what we have to do. We have back-to-back East Coast games, but we have to fly back to the West Coast and then fly to New York, which is crazy because when Niners had back-to-back games, they were able to stay in West Virginia. They didn't have to fly back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the NFL says because of COVID that the Raiders had to fly from Atlanta back to Vegas and from Vegas to New Jersey, which doesn't make sense to me. I would think, if anything, it would make more sense to stay in the East Coast during COVID and avoid these trips back and forth from Vegas to the East Coast. But the NFL says no, and I don't understand the NFL a lot of times. I've given up.
I don't think anybody does, really.
I mean, because 13. How does 26 players get the virus on one team? The game gets pushed back literally 3 days straight. So
yeah, the Ravens and Steelers got pushed back a week, but the Broncos had to play with a practice squad wide receiver as their quarterback and started the team with Philip Lindsay and the Wildcat.
And the Raiders had that situation early in the season when the Raiders played the Buccaneers, Trent Brown had COVID. So the whole offensive line was exposed. Yeah. So they couldn't practice all week, but they could play as long as they kept testing negative, but they could not practice. And the game was still played on Sunday. It was actually moved up from Sunday night to Sunday during the day.
Yeah. And then what was it? Was it Kansas City there? Correct me if I'm wrong, where 11 of our defensive players were on the COVID list. 11.
That's correct.
It's all the starters, wasn't it?
Yeah. Eight starters. 11 defensive players, eight starters was on the COVID list.
Wow.
It was a thing where they could play as long as they kept testing negative.
Yeah.
But they could not practice, and they didn't know they were going to be able to play until game day.
Which, if you watch the game, it kind of made a difference because the communication was off. I mean, if you look at that last play of the game, man. So, I mean, I guess the NFL picks and chooses, you know, who we're going to do this for, who we ain't going to do it for.
Yeah, you know, the Steelers and Ravens was for a division, so we'll push that back a week. But the Broncos, now they can sit four quarterbacks and we'll play on Sunday.
I think the NFL is trying to avoid that eight-game playoff, that week 18. They're trying to avoid that because they don't want to forfeit. You forfeit, the players lose money as well as the league loses money. We know they're all about that dollar. So
it seems to me the Jets haven't had very many COVID issues this year, have you guys?
No, not really. Good. Not at all. Surprising.
Every team has had a COVID issue except for the Seattle Seahawks. They are the only team in the NFL to never have a player on the COVID list.
Yeah. We had a couple false positives in the beginning of the year. And now in training camp, I think 6 or 7 offensive players had false positives. And then it was during the season. Maybe it was week 2 or week 3. There was a false positive like late in the week for the Jets, but it was, like I said, false positive. So everything was fine.
Yeah. So
It's probably because New York is pretty much shut. Isn't New York for the most part shut down anyway?
Oh yeah, it's literally especially New Jersey. In the streets. New York, New Jersey, really the tri-state area. Like you go out and there's no people. Like on the streets of New York City, Manhattan, it's a ghost town. It's really something.
They actually just did that for California today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw LA. They shut down. I know you guys aren't around the LA area, but they shut down
one of our co-hosts lives in LA County actually.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, actually, the governor of California, he actually today did it for the whole state.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Interesting.
For the majority now, of to say.
I know. Now, you guys, would you say that, I mean, you guys, would, if it is, New York and I've not been to the East Coast much, but New York City and New Jersey are basically the same thing, well, right?
I wouldn't say that. I mean,
how far?
A lot of people, they're not that far. Really only from East Rutherford, from the stadium, it's only really 15 minutes from Manhattan.
Okay. Do you think the majority of Jets players live in New Jersey?
They actually live more from where we're from because their practice facility.
North Jersey.
Yeah, their practice facility is in Florham Park, New Jersey, which is about a half hour from where we live. So most of them are in Morristown, which is really nice small little towns here in northern New Jersey. So most of them actually live there, closer to the practice facility.
One Jets rookie, Ashton Davis, he'll start at safety on Sunday, rides his bike still to the Jets facility. It's like 15 minutes. And it was raining and like 20 degrees one day, and he still rode his bike to the facility because he's from Cal. He was the safety from Cal that we drafted in the third round. So he's used to being able to ride his bike everywhere.
But yeah, for Sunday's game, and I can't pass it up. Last year still stuck in my head.
Well, yeah, as we wrap up, again, thank you guys for coming on as our first special guest here on the Tri-State Sports Beat. Score predictions. What do you guys think for Sunday?
I'm worried it's going to be close, but I'm still fairly confident that it's the Jets. I'm going to go Raiders 31, Jets 13.
I'll go Raiders 34, Jets 17.
Scott, you go ahead.
The first score that popped in my head was a reverse from last year. You guys are going to beat us 34-3. We'll have a great first drive. Sam Darnold will be like, well, this is the Sam we've been waiting to see for the last 3 years. Like he did against Miami on Sunday. Have a good drive, 60 yards. Make some nice throws. We'll settle for a field goal because that's the Adam Gase special. Mm-hmm. And then we won't score for the rest of the game. Unless Joe Flacco comes in because who knows, Sam Darnold could get hurt once again.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Adam Gase. I'm sorry. What's the issue with him and Le'Veon Bell and him being so obsessed with Frank Gore?
How much time do you have?
Listen.
You tell me, but I know
It's like historically with Adam Gase, he hates the big personalities. You look at Jarvis Landry in Miami. You look at Jay Ajayi in Miami. He sent them out the door before, he did not like them. All right, out the door you go. Same thing with Le'Veon Bell.
And Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
Well, I have a strong dislike for Jamal Adams now. Especially,
he's not going too good in Seattle either. So
no, I loved watching that video. Who were they playing a couple weeks ago? It might have been Minnesota. When he was that running back was coming up the middle and he just pulled right out of that tackle,
moved out the way. Yeah.
I absolutely loved seeing that. I can't wait until I hope Jamal lines up on the side of Mekhi Becton and Mekhi Becton plows him into the ground and maybe sits on him.
Maybe
I'll say 380 pounds of him. At least with Le'Veon Bell, he doesn't seem to be doing much in Kansas City. So maybe it wasn't just the Jets with Le'Veon Bell.
He's washed up. He's done.
Trying to get a ring. He's ring chasing. And to me, I don't think I have Tennessee as my sleeper team. That if Kansas City and Tennessee meets in the playoffs, that I have a bet, $100 bet. I have that Tennessee is going to beat Kansas City if they meet in the playoffs. I don't know why, but I just feel that team has always had Kansas City number. And team that do so good during the regular season. Come playoff time, they always play differently. Regular season football and playoff football is different. So I don't know who on Kansas City is going to be able to stop Derrick Henry or A.J. Brown.
Yeah, or Derrick Henry. I mean, if you can run the ball for 150 yards consistently, you have a good shot at winning the football game.
Yeah, so.
I think for my score prediction, I'll go the Jets won't score a touchdown because they never do. I'll go 40, I'll go Raiders 43, Jets 3.
43-3?
Yep.
That might be a...
Oh, man.
I mean,
hey, you know what? I'll take it because we have a high-power offense. We can sling that ball. But like you said, it's going to be 20-mile-an-hour wind. Who's catching that?
Guys, when I tell you the Jets don't score points, just watch. Please just watch closely. They'll run up the middle with Frank Gore on first down every time. Think, I want you guys to think about this. On the first offensive play for the Jets, the first play, I'll tell you right now, and you can come back and tweet me when I'm right, it'll be a run to Frank Gore. On first down, the first play of the Jets' offensive drive will be a run to Frank Gore. I guarantee it.
Or it'll be a play action to Frank Gore. Sam gets sacked, and then it's Frank Gore up the middle on second and 15.
I'm calling it right now. Frank Gore, first down run, maybe even a fumble, maybe even a score by the Raiders.
So. I'm so glad listen, we're not a fan base who acts like this.
Listen, this is how bad it is. Last week, the Jets had a 4th-and-1 on the Dolphin 20-something.
Yeah.
The entire Jets fan base tweeted at the same time, oh, here we go, Frank Gore up the middle, 4th-and-1. What happens? Frank Gore up the middle, 4th-and-1 gets stuffed. Turn the ball over on downs.
He has this obsession with Frank Gore. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. We'll never find out. Our
world. Frank Gore, we know Frank can play, but come on now.
Well, he's 37. You know, he's 37 years old, man.
I have to say that you guys did impress me when you almost beat the Patriots on that Monday night game.
See, that's when you that – see, we didn't want to win. We did not want to win that game. We were scared because we thought we were going to win.
Listen, I can't remember the last time I've been more nervous for a football game hoping that we lost.
But you guys have a problem on your hands because you guys are – I think you guys play the Jags coming up, right? Jacksonville.
No, we don't.
No, we don't play them.
We play you guys, then we play Seattle, then we play the Rams, then we play the Browns, and then we play the Patriots to end the season.
Oh, you guys –
so if you guys lose to us
– I hope so.
If you guys lose to us, the only game you might win might be the Patriots Week 17 because the Patriots might be out of it by then too.
Or the Browns. You never know what you're going to get from the Browns.
I'm actually going to root for you guys against the Browns because
we
need to take a couple. I mean, I expect them to lose 3 games. They still have to play. They have to play Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and Baltimore. I expect them to lose those 3. I expect them to lose to Tennessee this Sunday.
And the Jags will have to play the Bears, who look abysmal. So they may actually sneak a – Mike Glennon didn't look too bad under center for the Jaguars on Sunday.
You guys play the Bears?
No,
Jaguars Jacksonville does.
Oh, okay. Oh, they may win that game. Hell,
they might win. So Mike Glennon almost beat the Browns. So,
if the Jets win a game, and the Jets and Jaguars are both 1-15, do you guys know who gets who would have the tiebreaker?
The Jaguars, because they have a worse strength of schedule than we do.
Oh, so they'll have the number one pick.
Yep, right. That's why it's terrifying.
And then once again, it'll be y'all fault that y'all ruined another Ohio State quarterback.
Well, it's not just us. Everyone else is. I mean, look at Washington. Dwayne Haskins got benched, not even 16 games into his career.
He wasn't ready. He unfortunately last year when Alex went down, he was forced to play, so he had no time to develop. But he's doing the best he can to get out of there now. He's late to practices, not showing up to practice.
That's the way to do it.
He's doing the best he can to get out of Washington. And, you know, he come on over to the dark side. We're trained. You sit behind D.C. for a couple of years.
Has Mariota seen the field at all?
No. In fact, he's been inactive every single game this season. He was on IR until week 4.
Wow.
And he's been inactive since week 4.
And, you know, when he actually came back, John said that him and Nathan Peterman were going to battle for the second string position. We all know who won that.
I didn't even know Nathan Peterman was on the Raiders. You know,
that means the Raiders are
Nathan Peterman is a backup quarterback to Derek Carr, not Marcus Mariota. So many people said Mariota was going to replace Carr's – take Carr's job, and yet Carr is a starter with Nathan Peterman as number 2.
Wow.
And Mariota is in it.
The Raiders may be the only team in NFL playing a third – paying a third-string quarterback $8 million to run their practice squad.
See, I thought they were going to use him in some sort of, you know
– he doesn't know the playbook. He can't
know that spider 2-eye banana.
He can't get the playbook down. That's been one of the issues that John has talked about when he's asked about in the media, that Marcus Mariota is learning the playbook.
Well, John Gruden's offenses are like historically pretty long and difficult. Is that right?
Ask Chris Sims, because he still hates it to this day.
Listen, he's actually successful with a complicated offense. Adam Gase is a complicated offense that only Peyton Manning could run. And he still runs it to this day.
Guys, the Raiders will win because the Jets don't even know who's calling plays for them anymore.
Exactly.
They don't.
That was my next question. Who's the play caller for Sunday?
We don't know.
Good question.
It changes every week. That's maybe the problem.
Nick, I mean, he's like eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
It could be – you know what? If it was me, I will tank on purpose. I will call run plays to Frank Gore up the middle every single time. Oh, man. I will be worse than Adam Gase on purpose for five more games, just so that assures the Jets Trevor Lawrence.
But you guys are having the same issue that that Chicago's having. They don't know who called them plays.
No. Well, Matt Nagy gave up play calling, I think, at least last week, I'm pretty sure.
The thing is, the Bears actually think they can contend. We know we suck.
Yeah.
They can't. They were 5-1. Now they're with 5-1. They've lost 4-5-6
or something like that.
There's no quarterback. You take on Nick Foles, $21 million for what? Why did you do that?
What's crazy about the Raiders is everybody knows John Gruden calls every single play, but yet Greg Olsen has the title of offensive coordinator, and we're not entirely sure exactly what he does besides just stand there.
That's the same thing with the Jets. Jets.
The last 2 weeks, though, Greg has had a call sheet in his hand, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe John is sneaking in a couple Greg plays.
But everybody knows it's Gruden's offense, and mm-hmm. Gruden is calling the plays. You're not going to pay Gruden $100 million not to call plays. But
Scott, if you want to explain the Jets' play calling system, like it's Gase's offense, but Dowell Loggins is the offensive coordinator. He called plays for a little bit, but before then, Dowell Loggins was the one that held the challenge flag for Adam Gase. That's all he did.
And he could sling a football.
Oh, yes.
He could throw the football. Yes, he's about 5'8", about 250 pounds, and he could throw the football 50 yards.
I mean, but you guys may have the number one pick. What is drafting Trevor Lawrence going to do? Because you're going to have the same offense. You're going to have the same offensive line. I mean, he's going to need weapons.
I
expect us to go after Bieniemy from Kansas City.
He's going to Detroit.
You think so?
Or L.A. I mean, they may fire Anthony Lynn.
I said that was my thought. So I said Detroit or Chargers where he's going. No, I can't have him in AFC West. No, he has to go.
But I have faith in Joe Douglas as long as the Johnsons kind of decide to be hands off, which we have no idea what they're going to be. But I think they, with the contract they gave to Joe Douglas, gave him a 6-year deal. Paid him very nicely to be the GM. I think Christopher Johnson, if he's still in charge, because who knows what's going to go on with Woody Johnson now that he's coming back as the ambassador to the United Kingdom. Who knows what's going on with that? But I think Joe Douglas will have free reign of this coaching search. Who they're going to hire as a head coach, who knows? But let's be honest, if the Jets have the number one pick, they have $91 million in cap space to spend. I mean, there's wide receivers, Allen Robinson, Kenny Galladay, Juju, Chris Godwin, if he doesn't get franchise tag. There's weapons out there to sign. The Jets aren't a horrible, destination for a coach, with Trevor Lawrence as quarterback. You have Denzel Mims, hopefully a signed wide receiver, number one wide receiver, Jamison Crowder in the slot. I mean, it's not a horrible situation to be in. So
$91 million, a lot of money.
I want to say before we go, that one thing I think is cool about the Jets is when you guys have that chance at the stadium, J-E-T-S, yep. Jets. I want to compliment you guys on that.
Oh. That's the one thing. That's the one thing. That's the one thing we got going for us. Thank you.
I learned that chant from the movie with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, really?
So I like the JETS Jets, and I love the line from Big Daddy. Who do you want to win?
Yep.
The goddamn Jets.
I've
been posting that.
That's all we're known for.
I've been posting it all week.
I mean, I don't know if you guys are Barstool guys out there, but a guy from Barstool's a Jets fan has a show every week called The Goddamn Jets. So
it's comedic relief.
And he has shirts.
We need that.
He has shirts that have a plane breaking in half, and it says The Goddamn Jets in the middle of it.
That's the kind of pain we have to deal with, fellas. Be glad that you don't.
Welcome to New York sports.
Yeah. Be glad that you're not dealing with this. But, I mean, the Raiders have had dark times, but I don't think it's ever been this bad.
We've had times like this where we've been over.
We've never been 0-6. 2-14 has been the worst Raiders record. So.
Yeah. See, the Jets got you beat there. The Jets went 1-15 in 1996, but they're going to beat that on their own. So, I mean, can't wait. We can't.
We're on pace. We're on pace to literally be the worst team in NFL history. Yeah, points scored and points against. Worst team in NFL history.
I just looked it up, and the Jets are averaging 13 points a game and giving up 30.
Yeah. All you can do is laugh. We have a point differential of about almost 200. So, see, minus 200.
Guys, if we don't laugh, we cry. So,
I will say your Rex Ryan years were not bad, especially the first 2 years we made the AFC title game.
Yep.
I take Rex Ryan back in a minute.
I take
a heartbeat. I would take Rex Ryan back.
I would take him as our defensive coordinator right now.
He's a very good defensive coordinator. He's like what he's like what you mentioned before. Wasn't necessarily good to be a head coach long term, but is a fantastic defensive play caller.
And that's how it is. I mean, I'm okay if you're an OC going into a head coach, but that's, to me, that's a lot more responsibility because you have to hire your coaching staff.
For sure.
Sometimes that's just your position, like the Kansas City offensive coordinator. He's getting a head coaching job next year. Me, if I'm him, I'm cool being OC. I'm cool
being OC. And one other thing I want to bring up, and I had this as a question that I pondered on our podcast Twitter today. Bill Belichick was a head coach of the New York Jets for one day in 2000.
Yep.
How different would the NFL have been if he had stayed with the Jets?
I don't know.
I mean, even want to think about that.
That's a lot of what ifs because you have to think about the what if they drafted Tom Brady. There's no guarantee they would have drafted Tom Brady in with the Jets. I mean,
let's be honest, the Jets would have ruined Tom Brady. Probably. It wouldn't be the Tom Brady we know today.
Probably. So there's a lot of what ifs there. I mean, I really don't think about it that much. It is funny to think about sometimes now that you look back on it that he literally resigned as coach. He wrote it down on a napkin. I resign as HC of the NYJ. It's really comical when you think about it. But
he also said this year in an interview after they played the Jets that him resigning as the coach of the New York Jets is the best decision of his life.
You can't blame him.
I can't say he's wrong.
You can't.
Definitely not.
You really can't. Oh man. Well, guys, we really do appreciate you joining us. It's been fun. I think we went over the exceeded time where we thought we had a really fun time today. We really do appreciate you guys coming on. Again, follow our guys, the Real Nation Raiders podcast at TRN Pod on Twitter. Follow our guy Derek at Derek Evans 20 and our guy Kelvin at Big Zirko 89. Guys, it's been fun. Thank you guys so much for coming on this evening.
Thank you, sir.
Take care, guys.
Yep.